You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. Some of you are joining us for the very first time tonight. Welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here, and I think you will be, too. I hope you make a habit out of it. I have to update you on a couple of things, and then we'll get to our guest. But one of the things I need to update you on is the seminar. You know, we have the Gods in the Garden seminar coming up. This is a seminar about information that is contained in Genesis. It has nothing to do with interpretation, theology, or anything like that. Just the words that are there. Information that has been suppressed for centuries and even today is being suppressed. And information about origins says some really fantastic things. But anyway, the seminar is coming, and we have some details that we're going to be sending out later this week. So if you have registered for the seminar, you'll be getting some details. The details are firming up, and we'll be sending you an update with more details. And then also that means if you haven't yet registered for the seminar, you need to do so. It's a live seminar. That means it happens when it happens. That means you won't be able to click on watch this tomorrow. All right, the seminar happens when it happens, and you have to be registered in order to be able to see it because it will require a password to see it. So be sure you get registered. The K-Files e-zine, I've gotten a couple of emails from people who say, I didn't unsubscribe, but I'm not getting the K-Files e-zine. So I checked, and our software says it went to you. It did not bounce back to us. So if you don't have it, check in your, if you can't find it, check in your trash folder and check in your junk mail folder. Sometimes some email services do that. They will filter any publication like that. They filter it into a junk mail file or into the trash file. If it's not in either one of those, that means your email service filtered it out altogether, and I have no control over that. Only you do. You'll have to contact them. If intelligent extraterrestrials exist, ladies and gentlemen, and if they've been visiting Earth, this is one of the biggest events in the history of humankind. It is also one of the best covered secrets in the history of secrets. Should these secrets be opened up? And if so, what's going to be the catalyst that makes that disclosure happen? And will it happen under the Obama administration? Now, my guest tonight is an expert in exopolitics, among other things. He is the founder of exopolitics.org. And that is the politics of extraterrestrial engagement. Dr. Michael Sala will join us in just a few minutes, and we will be discussing all of these questions and more right after this break. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, as I said, is Dr. Michael Sala. This is not his first time with us. He's been with us before, and we're delighted, Dr. Sala, to have you back with us again. Welcome.
Aloha, Kevin. I'm glad to be here.
Dr. Sala, I think I need to start this off by explaining something to our audience. We have a policy on this show that we don't get into political discussion. However, we do talk about issues. There's a difference between politics and issues. We talk about issues that have something to do with the genre of this show, which, of course, is anything strange and unexplained, paranormal, and that would include the unexplained, includes UFOs and extraterrestrials. When we talk about the issues, that's one thing. But folks, whenever I say we don't talk about politics, I've explained this many times before. We're talking about saying, well, the Democrats are right or the Democrats are wrong. The Republicans are right or the Republicans are wrong. Or this or that candidate is the way to go. That's the politics. What we're talking about when we talk about exopolitics is the governmental mechanics of how to deal with the whole issue of extraterrestrials. Dr. Sala, would that be correct or would that be wrong, that description?
That's the way I look at it also, Kevin, that exopolitics is this emerging political science of examining public policy concerning extraterrestrial life.
Now, based on things that you've told us previously on this show, and things I go to your site frequently. By the way, folks, on my website, if you just click on the photograph of Dr. Sala, just click on his photograph, that'll take you to his website. But I go to your website frequently. I read your articles, and it's pretty interesting. You have stated on various occasions and on this show that, as far as you're concerned, the idea of extraterrestrial intelligent races visiting this planet, that's a done deal. We have sufficient evidence that it's going on. Now, would that be a correct statement?
Well, that's right, yes. Personally, after I've looked at all of the data, the whistleblower testimonies, documents, and so forth, that I'm convinced that extraterrestrials have been visiting us. And so a lot of my work tries to look at what are the public policy implications of that. Because obviously if they are visiting us, but the mainstream media and Congress looks at the whole ET issue as a non-issue, well, this is a pretty profound public policy issue, because it means that there's something that the evidence suggests is real, but at the kind of political level is regarded as a non-issue. So it's like, well, this raises the whole national security aspect that extraterrestrial life is not disclosed because there are very severe national security issues involved. And so that's one of the areas that I'm increasingly putting my attention on is, what are the national security aspects of extraterrestrial visitation that leads to these policies of non-disclosure, debunking, and that the mainstream media tends to ignore it.
Okay. Now, a couple of your recent articles really caught my attention. Are you still with me, Dr. Sala?
I am, yes.
Okay. I heard a click, and I wasn't sure. We get interrupted. We have some outside help from time to time, and sometimes our telephone lines get cut off. and I heard that click, so that's why I was asking. Okay, a couple of your recent articles really caught my attention because of the subject matter and also because of some of the things you said in the articles. One of them has to do, let's just start with your article about President Obama taking on the black budget. Now, how would that, first of all, sort of tell us the content of that, and then how does that impact the whole UFO ET question?
Well, President Obama made two weekly addresses to the nation. I mean, he does this, and he puts up his video message each week on the White House website with a transcript, and he talks about the issues that he's going to be tackling in the upcoming week. And beginning February 28 and also on March 7, he put out two weekly addresses where he's talking about basically cutting down on government waste. And in particular, he was focusing on the waste associated with government contracting, that government awards contracts out to various corporate entities to perform all sorts of services, and regularly these contractors go way over budget, and we're talking about billions of dollars annually just being wasted because of these contractors just really are performing services that are way over what they estimated. And typically the government just pays this out. This has been the practice for a long time, especially the Department of Defense, that they are notorious in just paying out whatever a contractor asks, even though they're well over budget. Now, Obama has kind of stepped into this field and says, well, he's going to change all that, that he's going to cut back government waste, and he's going to, and he issued a memorandum on government contracting, basically implementing oversight in the way these contracts are awarded and the way in which the overpayments occur, so that he's going to ensure that that is cut down. And that's where he's going to really step on a lot of toes, because these government contracts that corporations fulfill, the kind of waste that occurs in terms of, you know, paying $3,000 for a hammer-type expenditure, that kind of thing, that these are all covers for the black budget. And the black budget is something that is really very jealously guarded by those within the national security system, who rely on black budget funding for all sorts of projects that they don't want Congress or the media to have any idea about. That basically they want these projects to be funded without any kind of legislative oversight, without any immediate scrutiny. And the way to do that is to fund these projects through the black budget, so that way there's no kind of money trail leading to these projects that media or Congress can follow and say, hey, what's going on here? And so that's where you get black projects that are conducted without any oversight. And so the black budget is very important for all of this process.
You know, it seems to me that, I mean, we hear all the time both of the political parties talking about a climate or an atmosphere of corruption. It seems to me that that whole black budget thing is a climate of corruption, because it's all about how to hide things so Congress and the public don't know about it. And it seems to me, I understand the need to have these projects that are called black projects. I understand the need for that, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't have those. But the way to do it, I think, is simply, you could just put a line item in the budget, the public budget, that says black projects, and then just put an enormous sum of money on it, and then, with, you know, there would only be a very small handful of people who would have the knowledge of what's going on in that item of the budget. But you at least report the total.
That's one way of doing it. I guess they chose not to do that because they really don't want anyone to understand or know how much is going into the black budget. And so if you just have multiple single line entries throughout the Department of Defense budget which refer to non-existent projects, which are really covers for the black budget, you know, you not only hide where the money is going, but you also hide how much is actually being spent on these. And it seems that both of these are regarded as secrets. I know that, for example, for many years now, the CIA has been very reticent in disclosing exactly how much money it gains through the black budget, and occasionally it has disclosed that and has disclosed how much money goes into the entire intelligence community. But it really is a struggle to get the CIA to disclose exactly how much the black budget actually is, and that's only the official black budget. You know, that's the black budget that people know exists because basically the National Security Act of 1947 and the CIA Act of 1949 both created a funding mechanism whereby the CIA and other intelligence agencies would actually be funded through the Department of Defense, and that the Department of Defense could do this through any number of projects. And so that was decided very early on that the CIA budget would be a secret, and there were a number of advantages of doing that. Was that, you know, one, if you did it through the Pentagon, you could disguise how much money is going into the CIA. And secondly, you gave the Pentagon a way to kind of like give oversight to the CIA, because Truman was initially very skeptical about the CIA or very hesitant to kind of give it any kind of independent funding because he felt that there was a risk that the CIA could abuse its mandate. And as it turns out, that has happened, but I can talk a little bit more about that later.
All right, well, let's do this. How does President Obama going after the black budget and doing some analysis of the black budget, how does that have any impact on exopolitics?
The main way in which that impacts exopolitics is that all of these projects that have an extraterrestrial connection, whether it's the reverse engineering of some extraterrestrial artifact, whether it's the building of some deep underground facility whereby you have studies done on extraterrestrial life knowledge, whether it's creating these extraterrestrial vehicles or alien reproduction vehicles, as some call them, that basically go out into space performing all deep sorts of deep space missions. All of these projects have to be funded some way which is outside of the conventional kind of funding process. In other words, you need to have an independent source of funding for all of these ET-related projects, which allows these projects to escape any kind of legislative oversight. And so the way to do that is through a black budget, so that no one knows how big it is, no one knows where the money is going, and that gives these projects that have an extraterrestrial component to them the kind of funding they need to do whatever it is they're supposed to do without Congress or the media kind of finding out what's going on.
Okay, so if the president is able to actually overhaul the black budget, then what we're looking at is the possibility that some of the UFO disclosure things will happen because it'll come to light what it's being spent on.
Well, that's right. I mean, this is part of his overall approach of introducing greater transparency, open government, and oversight. I mean, this, if you look at what Obama has been doing in terms of all of these memoranda and executive orders, I mean, he's basically trying to establish greater oversight of the whole executive branch of government, and he's trying to put in place a a national security system that has all the power it needs to exercise oversight and make sure that, you know, government funds are being spent in the way they're supposed to and projects are being conducted in the way they're supposed to. And so as he does that, as he brings this kind of greater transparency and executive oversight into the budgeting aspect of the way the federal government operates, that's where the black budget is going to be exposed, because, you know, we are talking about enormous sums of money that are being generated in ways that escape oversight, whether at a congressional level or at an executive level, that go directly into these black projects. And so as Obama establishes oversight and open government, he's basically going to run, you know, it's going to be a head-on collision with those that need the kind of opaque, kind of confused, vague processes that often accompany a lot of the ways in which funding and budgeting occurs in the federal government.
Okay, now, it's possible then that if he's successful with this, that we may find that some of the things Gary McKinnon says he found, fleets of spaceships and so forth, we may find those uncovered in the budget if he's successful with this.
Well, if you follow the money trail, what you're eventually going to find is that enormous sums of money are funding something. You know, this is where I disagree very strongly with a lot of the kind of the conspiracy theorists who say that, well, all this money is going into the Swiss bank accounts of, you know, corrupt politicians and families, you know, the Rockefellers and the Bushes and so forth. I disagree with that. I don't think that's happening at all. I think all of this money is being used for what those within the national security system believe are very legitimate black projects that need to be funded off the books. And so enormous sums of money are being spent, and if you follow where that money is going, you're going to find that it's going into projects to basically build advanced aircraft or spacecraft that are capable of performing deep space missions. And you're going to need to have the kind of infrastructure to support that. To train astronauts, a secret astronaut corps to basically go off-planet to perform deep space missions. You're going to have to build these advanced space vehicles somewhere, and you're going to have to kind of park them somewhere, and you need to have some infrastructure in space. Now, these are the sort of areas that Gary McKinnon said he found when he was hacking into these computers. So I think if you follow the money trail and start to find out where the money is being spent, that you're going to find that a lot of what McKinnon said he found is actually very valid.
So you don't have a lot of doubt about McKinnon's story about what he found?
I don't question that he hacked into the computers and that he found things along the lines of what he said. I mean, the facts are that he's being charged. The Department of Justice has laid charges that he did successfully hack into these computers and found things that compromised national security, or the hacking itself compromised national security. Now, of course, what he says he found is something that is not acknowledged in any official way as being existent projects, but I don't see any reason to question him in terms of what he was looking for and what he claims that he found. I mean, he's been consistent in, you know, I've been kind of following his story for a few years now, like many others.
And, Dr. Salah, we have to take a break, and we'll pick up right there when we come back. We also are going to get into what might be a mandate for disclosure. We'll see what Dr. Salah has to say about that. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Well, we've lost Dr. Salah, and I don't know why. But let's try to reestablish contact with him. Let's see if we can get him up on the phone again. All right. No, we've got a busy signal, but perhaps his line will clear in just a moment. Must have just happened during the break. But Dr. Sala is the founder of exopolitics.org, and that has sort of spawned some sister organizations around the world that are involved in their parts of the world in exopolitics. So let's try again to see if we can get Dr. Sala. If we can't, we'll try an alternative telephone number and see if we can get him. All right, we've got him back on the air. I don't know what happened to you, but you're back with us now. Okay, can you hear me, Dr. Sala?
I can, yes.
Okay. When we went away for break, we were talking about Gary McKinnon, and we were talking about the fact that he is in the process of being extradited to the United States to stand trial on charges of hacking into government computers. He has, in fact, admitted that he did that. He has not denied it. And he says that he found evidence in those government computers, particularly I think it was NASA computers, but maybe not. Maybe it was something else. He said he found spreadsheets having to do with extraterrestrial fleets, extraterrestrial officers, and by extraterrestrial, we're not. I don't think we're talking about aliens. We're talking about fleets that are in space and officers that are in space. I think that's what he was talking about. But none of that has been mentioned in the charges against him. It's simply because he hacked into the computers. Now, I did a show several weeks ago where I dealt with Gary McKinnon, and I dealt with the fact that I listed some of the previous computer criminals that the Department of Justice said was, you know, these are the most serious computer criminals in our history, and I told how much time each one of them got. None of them. I think the longest one was 5 years in jail. And they're talking about an exposure for Gary McKinnon of up to 70 years. Do you find that rather incredible?
Well, I guess that's the kind of maximum sentence that they've been threatening him with if he doesn't cooperate with them and basically come out to the United States. Once he goes to trial here, and assuming he's going to be extradited, then they're going to have to go through the process, and then they're going to have to kind of sentence him based. And I'm sure the sentencing judge will view his interest in UFOs as a mitigating factor, and that, you know, he genuinely believed, as do many others. And it was interesting that the mayor of London, no less, Boris Johnson, actually wrote a letter in support of Gary McKinnon, saying that McKinnon, as do many, many others, believes that there is a giant conspiracy to hide the truth about extraterrestrial life. And this was something that Johnson thought should lead to charges against McKinnon being dropped, or that they were just kind of overblown. And so while that's not going to help McKinnon in an actual case, in the sentencing, it will be of great help to him, because it'll be a very strong mitigating circumstances that may lead to the judge giving him a much lighter sentence than he would otherwise have given.
Yeah, and let me just digress a moment and say we are definitely getting some outside help here tonight with the telephones. I can hear the echoes. And can you hear echoes?
Yes, it's yeah. There's things happening here.
Yeah, well, I guess they decided to cut you off during the break as well. But we will trudge on. I can hear the echoes. I think the audience, if they listen closely, will hear echoes in the background. And let me just say to those who are listening in, it's really not necessary to do this, boys. People in 95 countries listen without tapping the phone lines. You could, too. And let me also say for those who are doing whatever they're doing here, you're proving to people in 95 countries that you have no regard for the Constitution and you're an enemy of freedom. And I just want to make sure that everyone around the world understands that you are, in fact, an enemy of freedom and an enemy of the Constitution. All right. Now, Dr. Sala, another article that you wrote had to do with this proposed Truth Commission. This is being proposed by Senator Leahy, and he is talking about having a commission to examine a great many things that were done during the Bush administration to find out what, if any, laws were actually broken. There is a big, big debate going on. I watched, because of the show tonight, I watched today a hearing chaired by Senator Leahy, and it had to do with should we have a truth commission. And there are people who are saying, no, we should not. And the reason we should not is because it is unconstitutional. There are people saying, yes, we should, and it is not unconstitutional. That's to be expected. That's the way debates go. But you have written that this Truth Commission, if it happens, would have a mandate to do UFO extraterrestrial disclosure. Why do you think it would have that mandate?
Well, the mandate that it has, is it the same one as in the petition that is currently being supported by Senator Leahy? That petition has language in it that would actually open the Truth Commission up to those who have information concerning where there has been wrongdoing in terms of executive branch of government overriding laws. The language of the petition refers to let me read it all out. That includes the use of torture, warrantless wiretapping, extraordinary rendition, and executive override of laws. Those are the abuses that the petition says the Truth Commission should deal with. In other words, that would be the mandate of the Truth Commission. So if the Truth Commission includes in its mandate executive override of laws, you know, that term or that phrase opens up the possibility that we will have people coming forward asking for immunity, and they will reveal what they know of the executive overriding laws. And some of the laws that are on the book concern the release of UFO information. They will concern the information concerning wrongdoing involving projects that concern extraterrestrial life, you know, the sort of thing that whistleblowers occasionally have come forward with. I mean, for example, you've had Carl Wolf and Donna Hare talk about NASA and the NSA scrubbing out satellite imagery of foreign objects or artificial objects on the moon. Well, I mean, if you think about that, isn't that an example of an executive override of law, that there's some entities, some groups within the executive branch of government that are violating laws, that, you know, these images that NASA gets of the moon, they are public property. They are to be released to the public without any tampering. So if you actually have evidence, if there are whistleblowers who say, yeah, I saw these satellite images of the moon and of objects on the moon being scrubbed out, well, there's an example of executive override of law.
Well, I think it would also be, this would fall under what you're saying, tapping into our telephone lines and cutting off guests and disrupting the show, I think that also is an override of law.
Well, exactly, and maybe what we should do is, you know, encourage those that have been doing this on your show that once this Truth Commission goes ahead, that they can just volunteer, that they can get immunity and they can come forward and say what they've been doing without any fear of being penalized, because obviously, as you know, anyone involved in any classified program, if they reveal what they've been doing, regardless of whether or not it's, you know, complying with the law, they are subject to very severe penalties.
Mm-hmm.
But if with this Truth Commission, they could come forward without being penalized.
You know, everywhere in 50 states, all 50 states have this law for any government official, for any agent of the government, including all police agencies. That would include all intelligence and national security type agencies in the United States, that you have an obligation to refuse to obey an illegal order. And any order to disrupt freedom of speech is illegal because the Constitution guarantees freedom of speech. And so these people are at the moment in violation of the law, and if they say, well, I was ordered to do it, makes no difference. You have a legal obligation to refuse an illegal order. Personally, I don't want these people to have immunity. I want them prosecuted. On the other hand, I am willing to forego my personal feelings about that if it will help get the truth out. And, you know, if immunity will help get the truth out, then I say let's give them immunity and let them testify before Congress how it is that they have been violating the rights of American citizens with regard to UFOs and extraterrestrial information.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, as you know very well, having a law enforcement background, prosecuting people requires very high evidentiary standards.
It does. We have to take a break. When we come back, we'll pick up with the evidentiary standards. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. Dr. Sala, even if your phone sounds like it goes dead, don't hang up. We'll be back right after this. And we are back. My guest this evening is Dr. Michael Sala. And Dr. Sala, when we went away for break, we were talking about prosecutions require a high standard of evidentiary or high evidentiary standard. And I want to let you pick up right there and move forward.
Sure. Well, as we know, in a criminal prosecution of anyone within government who has violated law and did so, perhaps they were ordered to do it and they violated the law, if such people were going to be prosecuted, you have the kind of normal evidentiary standards applying in any criminal prosecution, which are quite high. You need to be able to prove beyond a reasonable doubt before a jury of 12 citizens that this person did violate the law. Well, you know, by definition, a covert operation occurs in secrecy, and often the evidence is simply destroyed. Witnesses can be intimidated into silence. So, in other words, you know, if covert operatives are going to be charged, it may be very difficult to achieve the kind of evidentiary standards for a successful criminal prosecution. But with the Truth Commission, you don't have those kinds of evidentiary standards. I mean, basically, what you have is the people coming forward saying that, this is what I did. I did violate the law, you know, for example, tap phones or interrupt interviews on the Kevin Smith show. and that I did it because I was ordered, and they would get immunity for that. Now, of course, that's not the same as a prosecution where they're found guilty and sentenced, because they can walk away from a truth commission without being penalized. But you know, but what happens is that people learn the truth, and the people involved in the violations are exposed.
Well, yeah. One of the things that's being argued right now is that a truth commission could, in fact, impede prosecutions because it would expose certain information and certain evidence that would need to be kept secret until trial. And so that's one of the things that's being argued. But I don't think there's ever going to be a trial. I don't think there is ever going to be a prosecution based on anything done by the Bush administration. I don't think it's going to happen. And I don't think that, therefore, there should be much impediment to, okay, let's get the dirty laundry cleaned up here. And but let me say this, too. When it comes to UFOs, when it comes to extraterrestrials, and the information pertaining thereto, the Bush administration is not alone. It goes all the way back, I would suspect, to Truman. The secrecy, the cover-up, well, cover-up is another way of saying lies, but then... the horrendous misdeeds that have been done to people who have seen UFOs or who have had some contact with extraterrestrials, you know, there has been a litany. There is a litany of horrendous things that have been done to them, putting them under surveillance, ridiculing them, interfering with their ability to get and hold jobs, in some cases, maybe even some health issues that were inflicted upon them. And you know, this goes all the way back, I would suspect, to the Truman era. I would suspect that's where it started. And I'm not sure that they really want to air all that dirty laundry. And let me tell you an example of why I say that. Do you remember in the Clinton administration, when the Clinton administration made public secret radiation tests that were done on citizens, many of them disabled, many of them children in orphanages, without the consent of those being experimented upon? You remember when that was made public?
Roughly, yes.
There was a horrendous hullabaloo in the press about that and a big uproar across the country about it. And that might have been a test balloon for disclosure. It could be. I've thought about this many times. That releasing that information could have been a test balloon to see what happens when we release some of the dirty laundry this way. And there were official apologies. There were big reparation payments that were made. You know, and it really rocked a lot of boats all the way to the White House. And this, of course, was done in previous administrations. That's when the tests were conducted, in previous administrations. But when the Clinton administration released that, there was a huge rocking of many boats. And I think it could have been a test balloon to see what happens if we release all this UFO stuff, because there's been a lot of misdeeds there, too. What do you think about that concept?
I think when the information comes out, that there has been government or executive overriding of laws in terms of suppressing information about extraterrestrial life, that there'll be an investigation about when it all began, who was involved, what occurred, and that'll go all the way back to the Truman administration. I think that will happen eventually, and it'll be a full-blown investigation. But I think it will emerge, firstly, out of something like Leahy's Truth Commission, where it will ostensibly focus on the abuses of the Bush administration, executive rendition and torture and so forth. But if they have the right mandate, then it'll allow people to come forward talking about these other areas, such as the censoring information concerning extraterrestrial life, scrubbing out images of moon, of artificial structures and so forth, that is going to be something that will emerge in a truth commission that will then kind of lead to demands for an inquiry into, well, how far does this go? You know, how far does this rabbit hole go? And that's when I think things will get really interesting, you know, because that'll kind of blow the lid off the covert ET-related projects.
So you see the Truth Commission that Senator Leahy is proposing as really kind of a first step towards this?
Yes, because there are a lot of people that I have come into contact with or heard about who want to come forward, but because they have taken security oaths, they feel that they would be threatened. They feel that their families would be punished for them coming forward to disclose national security information that they agreed that they would keep secret indefinitely. And so these people are very concerned about violating their security oaths. And secondly, they may have been involved in that. You know, what happens to the person who actually scrubbed out the kind of image, the photo images of artificial structures on the moon? I mean, they may have followed orders, but like you said, you know, those orders were illegal, but they did it anyway. Would they be subject to prosecution if they just came out and said, well, yes, I did actually interfere with the moon image data? They could be prosecuted. So they might be concerned about their own kind of legal situation. And so a truth commission allows them to come forward.
Yeah, but I wonder, I mean, if the Leahy Truth Commission goes forward, I wonder really if they would deign to get involved in any of the UFO extraterrestrial information. However, it would set a precedent. Having a truth commission would set a precedent, and it's a precedent then that could be followed with a truth commission about UFO information. John Podesta, who is part of the Obama administration, has been on record publicly stating that the time has come for us to have full disclosure. And he says it's because, you know, it's time, and because it's right, and because it's the law. I want to talk about that law when we come back from this break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Dr. Michael Sala. And Dr. Sala, I'll just tell the audience what we did during the break is we disconnected the telephone and then called him back. So perhaps we have a better connection now. I hope so. Are you still with me, Dr. Sala?
I am, yes.
Okay, I don't know if things are better for you. They're a little better on this side, less echo.
It's a bit of improvement on this side as well.
Okay, well, now, let's talk about, you know, I said that it would set a precedent. The Truth Commission, this Truth Commission, would set a precedent. And indeed, Senator Leahy today cited the precedent of a being the precedent for his Truth Commission being the 911 Commission. And that's why I say that even though this kind of might be a first step, I think there will have to be a further step. And I think, you know, if they do this Truth Commission, it will be a first step toward UFO disclosure because of its mandate to examine overriding federal law. But I think there might have to be a Truth Commission about, specifically about, UFOs and extraterrestrials in order to really get the information out there. Maybe not, but John Podesta is on record as saying that it's time to, and when I say on record, I mean you can go on YouTube and watch him say it. It's time to have full disclosure about UFOs and extraterrestrials because, number one, the time is right. Number two, it's the right thing to do. Number three, it's the law. When he says it's the law, what law is he referring to?
Well, he's talking about the Freedom of Information Act that basically requires federal agencies and departments to respond to requests to release information and to do so in a timely way and to basically ensure that the public is informed about the areas that they're inquiring about. Now, when it comes to the UFO issue, there's been all sorts of obfuscation by different agencies in terms of how they respond to these requests. Sometimes they release documents, other times it takes years for documents to be released, if at all. There's also the Executive Order 12958 that was passed in 1995, which basically required the automatic declassification of files that were older than 25 years, provided that there was no kind of overt national security component to it. Well, you know, we know for years that different agencies, military departments have been saying that the UFO issue has no national security kind of relevance. But yet, a lot of these UFO files are sequestered, not released, because of national security arguments. So there's a contradiction there, and of course that means that the law is being violated when these UFO files are not released.
Well, either the law is being violated, or they are publicly lying when they say there's no national security concern with regard to UFOs. So, I mean, it's one or the other. Wouldn't you say?
Well, yes. It would really would come down to that. Are they lying when they say there's no national security? I'm certain that the spokespersons who do come forward and make those statements are probably not briefed about UFOs, and so they're making a statement which, to the best of their ability, is accurate.
But so, yeah, so it would not be a lie then.
Well, that's right, because a spokesperson can only speak about information that he has been briefed about. So if you have, say, an Air Force spokesperson that says, you know, UFOs are not a national security threat, well, you know, he has probably not received any briefing to the contrary.
Mm-hmm.
So he might be very truthful.
All right. Let's open up our telephone line. And, folks, let me give you the telephone number. The telephone number is... If you can call without it costing you any money, some of you have those calling plans, the telephone number is 623-237-3814. If it's going to cost you long distance for you to call in, then I invite you to use our toll-free number, and the toll-free number is 1-800-259-9231. 888-223-4599. All right. And the telephone line is open, 623-237-3814 or 888-223-4599. If you have a question or if you have a comment for Dr. Sala, that's the number to call. Well, everything that can go wrong in this studio has gone wrong this evening with the telephones. We're hearing rings where we shouldn't hear rings and echoes where we shouldn't hear echoes, but we are here. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? And please don't tell me if you're hearing an echo, because we know we're all hearing it.
It's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario. Don't worry, I've been listening to the whole interview. Hello there, Mr. Sala. How are you doing?
I'm great, thank you.
Yes, you know, you talk about the truth and everything like that, and think about politicians coming up with the truth and everything like that. You know, if a politician tells the truth, you know, there's a first time for everything. yeah, I wouldn't believe a word that comes out of their mouth, especially when it comes to disclosure.
Well, now, wait a minute. That's not fair. What if tomorrow President Obama steps to the mic and says, folks, tell you what, here's the deal with UFOs. I am going to tell you the whole story. And he starts telling the whole story about UFOs. Would you believe him?
Well, I don't think I'll believe anything from... I'm not going to get into the politics here. But I'll get into the UFOs. I'll get into one particular fellow that I think I know is telling it like it is. And I'm sure we all know who Bob Dean is. I'm sure you've heard of him.
Yeah, he's been on this show several times.
Yeah. By the way, Bob Dean, happy birthday. Happy birthday. He's 80 years old. I can't believe it. Yeah, Michael, have you been following anything that has come in, the people that have been interviewed by Project Camelot at all?
Yes, I've been following Project Camelot closely. It's been very helpful getting all those whistleblower testimonies up there on the record.
Mm-hmm. Because I just finished watching a Bob Dean interview with them from September of last year. He was interviewed about Nibiru and the Anunnaki, and I think, and he's flat out stated that these guys have never left. And that they are the ones that are likely behind a lot of the UFO phenomenon, and are likely even behind a lot of the secrecy. What do you think about that?
Well, there's a lot of different ET groups that have varying agendas. I know with the Anunnaki, I mean, there are all sorts of theories about them. You know, as you just said, some say that they never left. Some say that they're approaching us. And that they've begun communications with the government. I mean, there are kind of all sorts of theories about the Anunnaki. I don't know how much of that we can accept as accurate, because it seems that it's all kind of tied in with the whole Nibiru, Planet X, Earth changes, and I think there's a lot of disinformation there. I think with a lot of the disinformation phenomena, that it's often to hide a kernel of truth. So, you know, what's the kernel of truth? Are the Anunnaki returning? I think probably so. I think that a group of ETs that were involved in ancient civilizations in Sumeria probably returning, and that and this probably relates to the U.S. military presence in Iraq. I mean, that's something that I wrote about back in 2003 in one of my very first exopolitics papers, the real intentions behind the Bush's preemptive war in Iraq, to kind of have feet on the ground in Iraq when the Anunnaki return. So I think there's some very important truths behind that.
Well, I also know that I think that this this whole secrecy about, especially about the Anunnaki story. I think a lot of it actually goes back to the Nazis when they found some ancient documents, and I think also they probably found some ancient Sumerian Anunnaki blueprints for rockets. I think that's exactly where rocketry comes from, because if you look at the definitions and the descriptions given by Zechariah Sitchin and his books and modern rocketry today, quite frankly, the similarities are unbelievable. And you consider the fact of where rocketry came from. It came from the Nazis, and the Nazis apparently found a lot of these ancient documents, and we got all of that through Project Paperclip, and then the whole rocket science industry just, well, no pun intended, but skyrocketed from there.
Well, that's right. I'm glad you brought up that, because the Nazi regime came to power in 1933, and by 1945, 12 years later, they had achieved a 25-year advantage over Western aeronautical science, and that's astounding. It's like, well, how did they get so far ahead? It certainly wasn't solely because of their kind of scientific technical expertise, because that was pretty much on par with the rest of the Western world in 1933. The only answer is that they did actually succeed in finding ancient records and interpreting those records in terms of the construction of these ancient technologies. They succeeded in their various esoteric communication methods, and also succeeded in probably recovering some discs. And certainly I think that there's good evidence to say that they did succeed in at least getting their hands on a disc that had crashed in Italy, that there are records that have now publicly emerged that the Italians did get their hands on a flying saucer, and they at some point handed the files over to the Nazis. So yes, the Nazis definitely had their hands on advanced rocket information technology. I don't know whether it would be all from the Anunnaki, because they traveled all over the place. They went to India, South America, Egypt, as well as Iraq. But they found enough to really move their rocket science ahead leaps and bounds, and of course were able to develop some advanced space vehicles.
All right. The telephone line is open. Thank you, Kevin, for the call. Telephone line is open. The telephone number 623-237-3814. Or if it's going to cost you long-distance money to call us, then what you need to do is dial our toll-free number, 1-888-223-4599. Let's go to the phone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening. This is Chris from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hi, Chris.
How you doing, sir?
Good.
I just wanted to ask Dr. Sala real quick, and I know this might kind of seem like an ignorant question, but it's truly curiosity on my part. Why is it up to just the U.S. for disclosure to happen? I mean, it would seem like the phenomenon is worldwide. There's got to be somebody out there, another government, another agency, somebody that has the capability of revealing this information. It just seems weird that the ball's just in our court.
Okay, let me apologize for the beeping noise that you're hearing. We are having a little bit of difficulty with the telephone system. We're getting some help. Dr. Sala, go ahead.
I'll actually take this off the air here, Kevin.
All right, thank you.
Well, I think that's a good question. The reason the U.S. has a monopoly on this information is because I think after the Second World War, the U.S. emerged as the dominant technological scientific power on the planet, and it had the kind of resources by which every other country that was kind of in the Western sphere or in the in kind of like the democratic bloc cooperated with the U.S. And there were kind of layers of this. You know, the innermost core was the kind of Anglophile countries, Britain, Canada, U.S., New Zealand, Australia, that kind of formed a very tight network of sharing information. And then you had kind of wider network, you know, with NATO and Western Europe. And then you had a kind of wider network as well, where the Department of State established agreements and cooperation and aid agreements with all of these other countries. But essentially, all the other countries that were kind of in the Western bloc of nations, any technology, any information they found concerning extraterrestrial life, they basically had that transferred over to the U.S., where the U.S. had the job to basically kind of understand, reverse engineer, and also form agreements with extraterrestrial life. Some of those whistleblowers who have come forward and talked about these secret agreements say that the agreements were reached on the basis that the extraterrestrials would sign these with the U.S. and no one else.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why the U.S. really has the kind of lion's share of this information. And I think that many other countries, and people have come forward to talk about this, that many other countries that have cooperated with the U.S., like a country like Sweden, you know, what happens when the Swedish military discovers some kind of crash disk? Well, they'll ring up the Department of State or the American Embassy in Sweden, and the American Embassy will then get to the NSA and the Pentagon, and teams will come out, and whatever the Swedes have discovered will be transferred to the U.S., and that Swede gets certain kind of benefits from doing this. That this, in fact, has been confirmed by a Swedish exopolitics researcher. His name is Torbjörn Sasserbjörn, if I pronounced that correct, and he's part of the Exopolitics Institute. He's an advisor, and he's confirmed that this, in fact, is what occurs in Sweden. So I think that happens all around the world.
All right, let's go to the telephone, and let me say this. If you call in and you hear music in the background, you're on hold. If you hang up, you lose your spot. We've got somebody that's been calling in, hanging up when they hear the music. All right. So when you hear the music, or if you hear this show, you're on hold. All right. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
How are we doing?
Good.
I was wondering, does the doctor, is he more in just disclosure, or is he have knowledge of different spaceships and civilizations or aliens visiting us?
All right. What about that, Dr. Sala?
Yeah, that's a good question, Terry. I have done some study into the different extraterrestrial races that are visiting us, looking at different whistleblowers, different contactees, experiences, you know, what they've said, and tried to kind of put together, as best I can, a kind of a profile of the different races that we kind of have most evidence about or that most people are talking about. And so I have a paper on my website called a Study into Extraterrestrial Motivations and Activities. You can go to my exopolitics.org website, and that'll be there under the recommended readings. And it's basically a typology. I basically just lay out, you know, who are the sources for this, and I lay that out. And so this is something that I think is very important. You know, who is visiting us? What are they doing here? And what are the different responses of government agencies to the extraterrestrial visitors?
Okay, Terry, thanks for the call. That's one of the early papers that, when I say early, I mean that's one of the first ones that I read after you started publishing on exopolitics. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, good evening, gentlemen. This is Kevin from Northern Alberta calling.
Hi, how are you?
I am well. How about yourself?
Outstanding.
Good. I have a question for Dr. Sala. I was going to ask him, since he's begun the exopolitics adventure, how much closer to disclosure now do you think we are than in the beginning?
Well, that's another excellent question. When I first got involved in this field was soon after the 2001 May press conference that Stephen Greer organized, and kind of in my naivety at the time, I thought, well, disclosure was kind of imminent. I thought it would happen within a few months, and of course 9/11 happened, and that kind of just ended the kind of momentum behind the disclosure press conference, and so here we are 6 years later, and I think that there's been a kind of build-up. I'm feeling very optimistic by some of the policies that President Obama has passed, you know, especially the Open Government and the Transparency Initiatives, Freedom of Information Act, his efforts to get the national security system to have direct oversight in the way in which different government agencies operate, and of course, in terms of trying to get control over the way contractors spend money that they are given through the federal government contracts. So I'm very encouraged that all of that will lead to a pro-disclosure environment. And I'm very interested also in the way the sightings phenomena has just kind of continued, that there's just sightings all over the world now. They're being reported regularly in countries like Britain, and thankfully because the Britain and the British and the US press are so tightly kind of integrated, you know, things that are published in Britain kind of get circulated here, which doesn't happen with other countries. And so that means that a lot of the British stories now are getting coverage. And of course, I think the Brits are really taking this disclosure movement to a new level. I think that the British UFO files that are being released, for example, the Milton Torres case, the case where he talked about his involvement in shoot-down orders in 1956 for a flying saucer that was the size of an aircraft carrier. I mean, that emerged because of the British military decided to release those files, and that was kind of unknown for over 50 years. So now it was because of the British. So I'm very encouraged by that.
Okay. I was going to ask you, too, is there any way of knowing who controls the mandate for disclosure? Could it possibly be the ETs? Maybe we're not the first civilization that disclosure has happened to, and they have a certain method of doing this.
Well, I would imagine that you're correct that this is not the first time a planet in this galaxy has gone through a process of, you know, believing that they're the only life in the universe, to one where all of a sudden they're introduced to this kind of wider galactic civilization, and they probably have experienced that in other worlds. In the case of our planet, of course, you know, we have a very insular, diverse, heterogeneous society that has a kind of long history of kind of tribal warfare, really, and so they're probably proceeding very, very carefully and encouraging us to kind of get our act together as a planetary society. I know kind of world government is a dirty word these days, but I believe in world governance. You know, world governance is different to world government. World governance is where countries around the world basically cooperate in setting up an institutional framework for cooperating and coordinating policies and economies and trade and scientific knowledge and so forth, so that they can be kind of like, they can work together towards common goals. And I think that's necessary. I don't think we need to have a world government per se in terms of, you know, like a global president and so forth. But world governance, I think, is a good thing.
All right, we have to take a break. We'll be back, folks, and take more of your calls right after this break. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Dr. Michael Sala. And the telephone lines are open. The telephone number, if it doesn't cost you long distance, is 623-237-3814. If it would be a long distance call for you, then you can use our toll-free number. It is 888-223-4599. Now, also, if you live outside of the United States and you live outside of Canada, you live in Europe or Asia or Africa or Australia or wherever, Antarctica, and you have a question for Dr. Sala or a comment, you can send a flash message. Now, the way you do that is really simple. You simply go to my website, which is kevinsmithshow.com. Scroll down and you will see below Dr. Sala's picture a link. It's green and it says flash message. And you just click that and send me a flash message. It will appear on my screen over here on this computer to my right. And it'll begin flashing. I'll realize then that we have a message, and I'll read it, and he can comment on it. All right? Or if you prefer, if you have Skype, and it doesn't cost you much at all, a penny or so to call, dial us at 623-1-623-237-3814. The telephone lines are open. And if you have a question or a comment, now is the time to let your fingers do the walking. I think that's what they say, let your fingers do the walking. Dr. Michael Sala is the founder of exopolitics.org, and he is quite an expert in international relations with a background in conflict resolution. And we're really fortunate to have someone with his background and his knowledge working in the field of exopolitics. One of the things, Dr. Sala, about exopolitics that we don't hear a lot about, but I think it's important, would be exoeconomics. And that being that if there is disclosure of the UFO technology, the things that don't have national security implications, a lot of that technology could be put to use in new industries that could generate a lot of jobs and a lot of income. And, you know, we don't, I mean, I'm speculating. I don't know what technologies there are, but obviously these craft are of a technological development that is way beyond what we have on our own, and I would think that it would have a big impact on exoeconomics. Let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. Okay, we're not picking up the caller. Let's try that again. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Well, we cannot hear that caller for whatever reason. All right, the telephone number again, 623-237-3814, or the toll-free line. If this is going to cost you long distance to call us, use the toll-free line, 888-223-4599. Dr. Sala, what do you say about the exoeconomics component?
Well, once you have disclosure of some of these advanced technologies that have been learned from extraterrestrials, you're going to have a rapid transformation in certain areas. I mean, of course, the energy sector is going to be really tremendously affected, because with these free energy devices that use anti-gravity, advanced electromagnetic energies, and kind of free energy from the zero-point energy field, the whole kind of conventional fossil fuel energy industry will collapse overnight. And of course, that will mean that the companies that rely on the oil revenue for their operations, they will go under. And of course, that gets into the whole question about, well, what happens if some of these companies are kind of sources of revenue for the black budget? And the same thing for the pharmaceutical industry.
Well, it's going to have an impact as well on our diplomacy around the world, because there will not just be companies going under, there will be countries going under.
Yes, some countries are very heavily dependent on their oil revenue. I mean, in the Middle East, Russia is also dependent, as is Venezuela. So there are many countries that would actually stand to lose quite a bit. But then again, you would have other countries that would just go through a boom. And this is probably where it gets a little scary for people, is because if you have cheap or free energy, that will basically mean that countries that have large labor pools will basically be able to move very rapidly in terms of industrialization to levels of technological sophistication that would be kind of like difficult to fathom. So I'm talking about countries like India and China that have huge populations, if all of a sudden China and India use free energy, they are ancient civilizations with people that would very quickly be able to be fully employed in advanced technologies.
Yeah.
And so those countries would become superpowers.
All right, let's go to the phone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan in Washington.
Hi, Ryan.
If there's people listening in tonight, why don't they just become a member of your show and then they could get everything at once?
Well, they could, and I mean, you know, it's free to listen. You don't have to tap the phones. All you got to do is turn your computer on, and here we are. You know,
the people that listen can always click donate or become a member.
Yeah.
But my question for Dr. Sell is: any news on the UN meeting at all? And I'll just take it off the air.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Well, as far as I have been able to tell, the whole kind of UN meeting information has stopped in terms of information being released. The last kind of I have been able to hear about this is that diplomats were being threatened. I heard that from three different sources that UN diplomats were threatened not to talk about what had been discussed at the UN. And also, the original source, the serving U.S. Navy officer, he has more or less kind of been instructed to just be quiet while the Bush administration was replaced by the new administration, and that the kind of deck hasn't quite settled yet, but they are kind of waiting for the Obama administration have all the people appointed to the various positions so that they can then move forward with the next step in the disclosure. So I believe things are kind of at a standstill as far as the UN is concerned, and hopefully with the new Obama administration passing these policies that we will see some action again emerging at the UN front. But at the moment it's kind of at a standstill, and I haven't heard anything new for months now.
All right, let's go back to the phone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Rick from Kentucky. How are you?
I'm doing well, Rick. How are you?
Oh, doing good. I need to make a comment on something that was said earlier by Kevin from North Bay.
Okay.
He specifically said he didn't trust Obama. Let's give the man a chance. He's only been in there 2 months.
Well, not only that. I mean, it's not, I agree with you, but it's not just that. In a wider sense, if we say we're not going to believe anything that any politician says, then for crying out loud,
we're in trouble.
Well, why would they then want to do disclosure? I mean, if everyone's going to disbelieve what they say, then why say anything?
Yeah.
You know, I think they're...
If I can add there, Kevin and Rick, I think many politicians, well, actually most politicians are just out of the loop. They don't know what's going on when it comes to this UFO ET issue, and those that do develop an interest are kind of warned off. They're told, don't get too involved in this or you will find yourself out of office.
We need to write some letters to our congressmen, senators, and state our feelings one way or the other on this, and maybe that'll light a fire under some of them that are not active or whatever.
Well, I think so. And look, there are certain politicians that I would say, look, if the mouth is moving, it's a lie. But that's certain specific politicians.
I agree with that.
I think
if we say all of them are like that, we have no hope whatsoever.
Right. And really calling for disclosure from people that we are saying everything you say is a lie, then you know that's futile.
Yeah.
So, they did tell you. Yeah. So I think there are some that are truthful. And I think there are some that, if they knew this information, would like to get it out to us. And yeah. maybe a commission like Dr. Sala's talking about may be the vehicle to do it.
That's true.
Yeah.
I hope Obama is our best chance so far, and I think we ought to try to prod him along a little bit if we can.
Yeah, I think so. Hey, thanks for the call.
Okay. Thank you, Kevin.
Mm-hmm. I think so. And look, here's the deal. It's not a matter of Obama worship. That's not the deal here. It's a matter of this is a new president. He's made some pretty significant steps in the right direction in terms of openness and transparency. Maybe not as many steps as need to be taken, but you have to take the first steps first, don't you?
Well, that's right, and I think he's made some very important steps, the openness and transparency. I think the expansion of the powers of the National Security Council so that it would actually have direct oversight over the whole national security system, and also this effort to try to kind of rein in and have more oversight of government contracting. I think those things are all very, very positive developments and all move in the direction of disclosure, because there is a system in place whereby the conventional political system is not having direct oversight of the ET-related projects. It's all done kind of outside of the conventional system in this kind of quasi-governmental corporate world. And so the more the kind of the more that Obama tries to strengthen the executive branch of government so that it has control over the way in which money and projects are operating throughout the whole system, the more likely we're going to have disclosure.
We're headed towards a break in 10 seconds. But look, when we come back, I want to talk about one job where they use tons of contractors, and most Americans would be shocked to know it. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back. We are on Final Approach, and my guest this evening is Dr. Michael Sala. Dr. Sala, when we went away for break, I said I was going to mention an area where we use a lot of government contractors, and people are not even aware of it. You mentioned the CIA earlier, and this came up in the confirmation hearings. Now, I personally know this to be true, what I'm about to say, because I have run into some of these people and have worked alongside some of these people in my former career as an international police officer. The you know, when you think about the CIA and you think about operatives on the ground, you these visions come to mind that it's an American version of James Bond out there. What you might not know is that a great many of those operatives on the ground are contractors. They don't work for the CIA. They have a contract with the CIA, but they're independently contracted. I don't know. Were you aware of that, Dr. Sala?
Yes, I've heard of the CIA having using contractors for various purposes.
Yeah. And a lot of people are not aware of that. Now, that came up in some confirmation hearings for the new CIA director. And the question was asked, are you going to get rid of the contractors? And the questioning, the line of questioning was implying that this needs to be done by people who actually are employed by the CIA. And so this is not a big, bad secret. It's out there. If you anybody watches C-SPAN, a lot of this information is on C-SPAN. And but that's the truth. It's contractors. And I bet you, and I don't know this to be a fact, but I would be willing to bet money that a great portion of the secret stuff that's done dealing with UFOs and extraterrestrials and maybe recovery of crashed discs, I would be willing to bet a lot of that is contractor. And so what you said about the overhauling the whole thing with government contracts could have a real impact on this issue.
Well, that's very true. That's why the money trail and the funding is so important when it comes to the whole exopolitics kind of cause, because if we follow the money trail, those involved in these ET projects are ultimately going to be paid in some way, and that money is going to be coming through various processes, and the most common one will be through these contracting arrangements whereby different government agencies will be paying all sorts of, various corporations for all sorts of projects and missions that are not kind of open to public scrutiny. We don't know about it, but we know that the money is being transferred to these corporations for various services provided. So as Obama follows through on his determination to place oversight on these government contracts, then it'll be interesting to see just what.
Well, isn't it interesting? We just lost Dr. Sala's audio. And did you notice what he was talking about when the audio died?
I'm still here, Kevin.
Oh, you're back. Okay. Somebody decided to just turn your audio off. I didn't touch a thing. All right. Yeah, that is true. And see, what happens, and folks need to understand this. Let's say you have a black project, and that project maybe is going to remain in the dark. Maybe it's not going to come to light. But if the government contracting information comes to light, it may not be that the mission itself is being contracted, but supplies, logistics for the mission may be contracted. And if it is, and if that comes to light, then you're seeing, it's like watching things fall into a black hole. You're seeing the money trail lead to something. Maybe you don't know what the something is, but you see the money trail leading to it. And, that can give you a lot of information about what may be in that black hole.
Exactly right, and that's why I really put a lot of attention into the black budget. And in fact, my new book, I do have a new book that's just come out, Kevin. It's called Exposing U.S. Government Policies on Extraterrestrial Life, and people can find out about it more on my website or order it from Amazon. But in that book, I have an updated version of my black budget paper, where I look at the way in which the black budget is generated and look at just how big this is, because ultimately, we have to have some way of gauging how big is it. And so the estimates that I have come up with are roughly $1.7 trillion a year is raised for the black budget. And the way I estimated that was using Inspector General reports from the Department of Defense from 1998, 99, and 2000, when they released estimates of just how much money was unaccounted for through auditor studies of the Department of Defense. And that was the average of those 3 years of how much money was just kind of unaccounted for or was moving through the Department of Defense without any kind of proper auditing trail. And I think that is really the best evidence we have for just, how the black budget operates and how big it is.
Donald Rumsfeld, the book. Just before 9/11, Donald Rumsfeld said publicly that there was something like $4 trillion missing, unaccounted for, in the Department of Defense budget. And then 9/11 happened, and the news all went to 9/11, and nobody did anything with this $4 trillion that he talked about. And, but that's on record. And, he did say it. And having said it, That's getting pretty close to disclosure of a lot of stuff right there, just by putting that on the record.
Exactly. This is really the way in which this whole ET question will be exposed, is if you focus on the money trail, you're going to come up with these vast amounts of money that are just kind of disappearing through some black hole. And it's obviously going somewhere, and it's being used for some purpose. And so if you kind of follow the money trail, eventually you're going to discover that, you know, all of these things we've been talking about, fleets of space vehicles, corps of astronauts, secret astronauts, underground bases, reverse engineering of extraterrestrial technology, all of that is funded by this enormous black budget.
Listen, we have about a minute and a half here before we are at the end of the show. Let me ask you, what's up next for exopolitics.org?
Well, I am putting a lot of attention into just getting people to look at, you know, what is the public policy that has been developed secretly to deal with the whole extraterrestrial question. You know, that's something that I look at in detail in this new book that's just come out, where I basically lay out the history of how U.S. public policy has been developed concerning extraterrestrial life. I look at the secret agreements and meetings involving President Eisenhower. I look at the joint bases and facilities that have been developed where extraterrestrials and government agencies and corporations work together. The black budget, the role of false flag operations. I look also at how ET vehicles are being targeted, how there's a kind of shoot-to-kill order that is still in application for some government agencies, corporations, in terms of ET. So these are the issues that I think we need to look at in terms of a vast set of public policies that have been secretly implemented concerning extraterrestrial life.
All right. I want to thank you for doing what you do, and I want to thank you for being on the show with us tonight. If you will, just stay on the line with me for a moment. And, ladies and gentlemen, that's it. That's a wrap. The end of the show has come once again. Tomorrow night, my guest will be Michael Horn. He is a highly controversial individual and talks about a highly controversial subject, the Billy Meyer case. But he'll be with us tomorrow night. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.